it ought to be a smile. And I'm not saying we have to be, bubbly all the time and we can't have bad day or something like that. But I'm saying that if we're going to be that fourth seed, it means we bring Jesus to where we are. And we look at the problems of life, discouraged people, people who need a sweater, people who are looking for a ride because their car broke down, they need a ride to work, all of these different things. And we come with Jesus. And when we come in that fourth dimension, we understand that we've been sent into a hurting world. There are a million ways that we witness and we become a blessing to others. And you watch, if you're carrying a basket, I've even gotten fruit by walking with my eyes closed and banging into the trunk of a tree and fruit falls into my basket. And it's like that if we would, where we are. The expectation is, as a daughter, there's fruit for my life. God's using me. And we ought not to hold a burden over somebody's head as, well, you ought to have this and this and this. No, it's, what does it look like if Jesus is going with you to work? If Jesus is going with you to the daycare center? If Jesus is going with you to the supermarket? If Jesus is staying home in the neighborhood? What does that look like? Jesus, I want to be led by you. Because we can even stereotype and we think, well, here's what you have to do to have this and this and this happen. It's amazing the things that could happen if we said, Holy Spirit, talk to me. I want to hear your voice, find out what you want me to do. Amazing.
Well, every morning I'm getting up and I'm getting used to saying this. I say, Holy Spirit, what do you want today?
Love
Not
it.
What I want, like what do you want? How can I be effective? And who am I supposed to meet today? Who specifically do you want me to meet today and vice versa? And he will bring people. And I've seen him do it even more and more as I give him my day.
You'll never go wrong that way. Yeah. And you will have 30, 60, and 100-fold.
Yeah.
No farmer plants seed and gets nothing. No one. I'm like, it's preposterous. Somebody says, well, I planted all this seed and I never got any potatoes. Believe me, if you planted potatoes, you'll get potatoes. There's somewhere in that ground, you'll get potatoes growing, right? Same thing in the kingdom. But it's not the quality of the soil, it's the quality of the seed of who we are. Yeah? Anyone else? And then...
Just a comment on what you have taught us today and what I have heard, and I know we all kind of hear a different part or... Anyways, towards the end you said God expects the harvest.
Yeah.
And I know we all have, I'm quite sure, family members or neighbors, whatever, who we have been praying into the kingdom. But what, as I kind of pondered on that, God, you expect a harvest. So, you know, what are we to do? But my next thought was, what do we expect? And I guess it was, what do I expect? So I guess in one way you've really kind of encouraged me that sometimes we just whatever. Anyways, I just thank you. Thank you for that encouragement. That it's actually I have to keep on expecting no matter what I don't see or whatever. So thank you.
Absolutely. And you know, when you expect a harvest, someone might reach my daughter for the Lord or my son for the Lord. Again, I just expect a harvest. And he's the Lord. He's called Matthew 9 and 38. He's called, it says, pray the Lord of the harvest. I love it that he's the Lord of it.
Yes.
In other words, the bottom line is, he's able to produce the harvest. And sometimes, you know, I'm going for a harvest here and my heart's for the I've got some needs here. I need God to, you know, touch my son, my daughter, my mom, my dad, or whatever. But if I'm going for who God wants me to go for here, he'll also know how to send or reach that person over there. He's the Lord of the harvest. And so I expect, when I preach, I expect for people to give their lives to Jesus. I don't have a burden of it. I just expect it. And when we expect, especially in the day in which we live of a harvest time. And we're sons and daughters, and we say that this is you know, Psalm 2. Didn't Jesus say to the Father, the Father said to the Son, ask of me for the nations, and I'll give them to you as an inheritance. Mm-hmm. There's an inheritance for the people of God. I don't know all of what it looks like. I don't know how big it's going to get. I didn't go into the ministry to be Billy Graham. I've got to be Doug Snyder. But at the end of the day, I want to be the best seed possible. Yeah, that's a good comment.
One of the things about expecting a harvest, too, is that when you expect something, you do something to go and get it.
Yep.
You just don't sit at home and expect a harvest. If you're expecting something, then you prepare and you go after it because it's out there. We go looking. Now, in a bit, we're going to go to the kitchen and have some more coffee. And I know some of you know that. And I just want to say that if you've got questions for Pastor Doug now, don't think I'm going to ask Doug privately, because most likely the question that you have, we can all learn from. So if you have a question, during this time, ask it so that we can all learn.
Let me close by saying this, and then if you have a question, you can give it. One of my favorite verses of understanding is Psalm 115, verse 16. The heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. And what it means is God will not go to people and do evangelism apart from us. For God to do, this may surprise us, but for God to do work on the earth, it has to be through humans. And it's why God's plan was that Jesus would have to be born through the Virgin Mary and come as a human. And so it's why angels don't even hold crusades. And so what Pastor Billy said is, I believe that it's important for me not to be obnoxious, not to be forcing things or anything like that. What I do believe, though, is it's important for me to give opportunity for people to know Jesus Christ. And every day I'm looking for that opportunity of how I can lead someone to Jesus, let them know about Jesus. The young lady I met at Maggie's, I met maybe two of them once. So far, they just know me as a nice person who was thankful. But if I were to see that person again and again, you watch, they would know that I know Jesus and I want them to know Jesus. Sometimes I don't even invite people to know Jesus. I invite them to church. Sometimes I'll do that. Jesus is just too much for them right away. So I'll say, come to church. It's nice music. Your kids can learn values, and I'll start off that way. Other times I don't want to start off with church because I think there's too much stuff in church. I'll say, you need Jesus right off the top. But it has to happen through people. This is how it is. And so that's why the key is to be sown. And it's why for people who just hold, and this sounds crazy, but it's why for people who just believe in prayer meetings, you've got half the gospel. Because that's the faith part, but the works part has to be, you're not called faith church, you're not called works church, you're called faith works. And, I believe in prayer meetings. We pray all night. We have 3 days in his presence and things like this. But at the end of the day, out we go. So I'm kind of concluded my part. Any questions, comments, especially what Pastor Billy said? Okay.
Maybe I could just share a vision I had last night in the worship that is reminding me of this. Mm. And it was a picture of us hanging on to Jesus' feet desperately. It wasn't a nice touch. It was a desperate, you have to touch me while I'm here. Mm-hmm. And after that, as the Lord talked and he was writing, marking things down on the ground, as he was speaking, we began to be filled up with things to take with us.
There was so much of it, we had to put it in a bag and carry it over our back. But it was so much that it was actually too heavy to carry. So the Lord said, and I found this very strange, you're probably going to need a donkey to carry it away. It's just that he's going to give us so much when we take that time to be with him.
I love it. I love it.
And there was a little bit more to it. It was the fact that as we were built up in him with what he had given us, when we stood up with him when he was finished and we opened up our mouth to speak, we weren't just speaking in a normal voice. It was like the roar of the Lion of Judah. And God said that he would use us to be that way as protecting the island, as we were surrounding the island. And it was reminded me of the scripture that you had quoted over my son Ryan last night about Elijah, when he said to the servant that he would have his eyes opened and he would see that more were for them than were against them. And that is how the Lord would use us to surround the island. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot in one, but it was good.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm glad you shared that. That's good. Yes, sir.
When Jesus spoke in John 21, twice he said, feed my sheep. The third time he said, feed my lambs. I'd appreciate if you elaborated that a bit. Why lambs there? And how does that relate to our community where we're starting from?
Sure. Excellent. It's fascinating because Peter was a fisherman. So ordinarily, and even said, you know, from this point on, you'll be fishers of men. And after Peter fails the Lord, and Jesus is going to restore him, he doesn't say, go and catch fish. He says, feed my sheep. And then he even throws in, tend my lambs. What I understand from that is, I'll give you the verse. I'll tell you what comes to me. I believe it's Psalm 78, and it's a verse. It's the last verse. Doesn't have to be a long answer, but I want to give you a good one. It's Psalm 78, and it speaks of David, verses 70 to 72. He also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd the people of Israel. What we're told there is that David was a person who cared for the sheep. And it specifically says they're ewes. In other words, if you want to lead a nation, know how to care for adults and the young. That's what's being said here. And David's heart was developed in the sheepfold. And he's saying to Peter, I want to use you. And I know that you've been a fisherman. But I can't relate this to fish. But you will get it when you understand about sheep and lambs. And it relates to love, your love for me, and experiencing my love and giving it to others. And even what I got also from it was that the whole plan is to take the young and to grow them up into the mature. And in the body of Christ, I could say, well, I've got a church of 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000. But if they aren't growing up into maturity and being sown into the harvest field, I'm missing it. And so the key is, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he doesn't know yet, but 3,000 people are going to get saved right there. Bam! Just like that. And 4,000 and 5,000 after that, and it's just going to explode. And it's, I want you to have the heart. And of course, in the Greek language, you've probably heard this before, but Jesus says, do you agape me? Do you love me with God's love? He says, I phileo you. I have affection for you. You know, he's he's not confident in himself. He says, I greatly, you know, I love you so much, but I don't know whether I can say I'm committed. Do you agape me? Second time, well, I love you with all my heart. Jesus brings it down to him and he says, we'll start here. Toward the end of Peter's life, in his little epistle, he gives a little ladder. He says, add to your faith diligence, godliness, and so on. And the last one he says, and to phileo love, agape love. And so he himself, as a spiritual leader, was taught. See, even as spiritual leaders, you know, you can talk about big churches and money and all those sorts of things, but if we don't care for kids, and it's not just kids, but we can talk about some things. The person who's going through a very difficult time, we're not in big business ministry. We were to be caring for people. And nor do I carry a burden of, I have to be all things to all people, nor should Pastor, Debbie, or others of you. But what it does mean is we need to be sending out people who carry the heart of God. I think that that's what that sheep and lambs is all about. So how about if we receive? Would you like to do that? Can we do that? Unless someone else, you're kind of, you'll be in Heartbreak Hotel if you didn't get a chance to ask it. Everybody's okay? Do you want to ask a last question? Let's stand. I'll tell you what we can't do, and then I'll tell you what I think we can do. One is, I have no power in myself to grow you up real fast or me up real fast. It's like the fruit of the Spirit. We can't do it fast. That'll just have to ripen. Gifts we can get right away. And in terms of what we're about this afternoon, I'll tell you what we can get right away is we say, Lord, give me an understanding of this truth. Because when the revelation hits, it's so immediate that we see that we're to function in maturity and our expectation changes. I've had school teachers talk to me and I grew up overnight. I've had parents talk to me and that one little talk of giving me an understanding of the way things should be, on how I drove the car or something like that, I grew up overnight. In the same way, the Lord can, in a nice way, give us an understanding of, you know what, Bob, you know what, Jim, you know what, Susan, I want to tell you something. And it would be profound for some, the revelation that that's not true that you're a baby in the Lord. That's not true that you're just a reckless teenager with zeal. That's a lie of the enemy. What's truth is, you're a son and a daughter of the King of Kings. And it's not that you're obligated or you're under some kind of a terrible burden of this, but as a son and a daughter, I bless you to go out with all of these blessings and to be a blessing to others. That's called the revelation. That we can do today. So again, I just welcome you, Holy Spirit. And whether it's you're opening your eyes or you can open your arms, however it is that you can best receive, I just welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come here right now. You know Faith Works Church. You know the people here. You know if some are from other churches or from different parts of the island, wherever it is. You know where we're to be sown. And you know the revelation that we need so that we would no longer, there are some things that it says that we would no longer be children. It says it in the scripture that we'd no longer be children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but growing up in all things in Christ. There are places in scripture, I believe what Holy Spirit's telling us right now is it's time for us to grow up. And that's not, again, slang language of putting us down, but it's an encouragement to come up higher to, you know, if you've been a servant or a slave, it's time to move out of that and be a son and a daughter. And you sit at the table, you aren't second class. But you've been brought to a place of maturity, to be led of the Spirit, expect to hear the Lord. Why wouldn't he talk to you? And expect to have fruit come in through your ministry and your life, because you're good seed. I speak good words over you. And it speaks of the good word of God. It speaks of being sown as a good seed. And I just speak also that there would be the spirit of wisdom and revelation for each person here, that we would grow up in all things in Christ Jesus, and that we would experience a growth that comes from God, and that we would have fruit and much fruit and even more fruit, and that our fruit would remain. We ask for that blessing of John chapter 15, of abiding in Jesus Christ, and out of that, and we would experience it. And so the spirit of revelation, that we would experience what the gospel of Matthew gives us of kingdom living. And because we were catching the principle of this truth of the sower of the seed, so you would open up the other parables and would begin to see the other stories and would think, wow, I get that, I see that. And any time the spirit of revelation touches you and you see it, you can now expect it. Just like when I got that revelation, I couldn't wait to get to a place where they were negative and didn't expect anything, because I wanted to try it out to see if it worked. And in the same way, we want to try this out. So put us in situations where we can expect things where people have been negative and they expected nothing. But we come with revelation. And knowing Holy Spirit, that's what you produce, is where there's revelation released. We'll see the fruit of it for the glory of God. And let's just for a moment, just be open. Here's what I sense is for some people, I'm not making it into a ministry time, but there are some people who are here right now, and if you would forgive, it would set you free for kingdom ministry. Just forgive. And it doesn't have to last longer than a minute. But if we would find forgiveness and we just put it under the blood of Jesus Christ and we offer forgiveness in the name of Jesus, the blood washes us, and that we would no longer be under condemnation, and we would be a person set free. And because we have been set free, we're able to set others free. And what we've experienced, we offer to others. We just release the spirit of forgiveness in this house. I thank you, Lord, it's just that simple. Let your blood wash it away, and we move into that again of letting you live in our lives, Holy Spirit. In your precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. 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 Amen.